The documents that govern U.S. relations with China and Taiwan are deliberately vague. They're known as the Three Communiques with China and the Taiwan Relations Act. The Three Communiques set forth Washington's One China policy. The Taiwan Relations Act obligates the U.S. to help Taiwan defend itself. For more than 20 years, they've been a triumph of diplomacy, ambiguous enough to leave both China and Taiwan in doubt about the extent of America's commitment to Taiwan. But much has changed since they were drafted. NPR's Vicky O'Hara reports.
The first communique with China, negotiated by President Nixon in 1972, sought normal relations. President Carter negotiated the second communique, and the strange balancing act that we know as the U.S.-China-Taiwan relationship is an outgrowth of Carter's startling announcement. The date was December 15, 1978.
The United States of America and the People's Republic of China have agreed to recognize each other and to establish diplomatic relations as of January the 1st, 1979.
President Carter said that the U.S. recognized One China and would end diplomatic relations with Taiwan as well as terminate a defense treaty with Taiwan. The president said the U.S. expected any differences between Taiwan and China to be resolved peacefully. An angry Congress reacted by passing the Taiwan Relations Act, restoring a U.S. defense commitment to the island. In 1982, President Reagan negotiated the third communique with China. It said the U.S. over time would reduce weapons sales to Taiwan. Jonathan Pollack is chairman of the Strategic Research Department at the U.S. Naval War College. He says that the three communiques are outmoded.
Even though a lot of lip service is still paid to them, especially by the Chinese, they're of diminishing relevance and utility because they don't capture the current realities.
The communiques and the Taiwan Relations Act were negotiated during the Cold War, before Taiwan became a prosperous democracy.
To almost everyone, it looks like a state, trades like a state. Its identity as part of China is diminished.
Pollack says the situation is quite precarious. China sees that Taiwan, though recognized by only 29 countries, is a player in the international community, and Beijing doesn't like it. The potential for confrontation, Pollack says, is increasing.
It may well be time to explore the rules of the game here, not so much in terms of the official documents that govern the establishment of relations between the United States and China. Those served us well, and in some respects they still play a useful role, but they're clearly insufficient.
Douglas Paul is president of the Asia-Pacific Policy Center in Washington, D.C. Paul says that because of changes in Northeast Asia, the U.S. has begun to change the way it interprets the communiques with China. He says the U.S. already has adjusted the way it implements the 1982 communique, which restrains the quantity and quality of arms sales to Taiwan.
As a result of persistent Chinese increases in military pressure on Taiwan, there's been a need by the United States to find creative ways to stretch the meaning of the arms sales communique so that the U.S. can provide adequate services and equipment to the Taiwan authorities so they can defend themselves.
Douglas Paul says that even though the communiques are imperfect, the U.S. is very unlikely to try to negotiate a new framework with China.
The focus in both of our relationships has been on those things that divide us rather than bind us.
Other analysts warn that trying to renegotiate with China could be dangerous, cause the entire relationship to unravel. But Richard Solomon has a different view. He's president of the U.S. Institute for Peace and former Assistant Secretary of State for East Asia. Solomon says recent events, including the collision of U.S. and Chinese military aircraft, illustrate the fragility of the current framework that governs the U.S.-China-Taiwan relationship.
I think the only way we're going to be able to navigate through a very difficult period is if the two leaderships in Washington and Beijing, with consultation, I think, with people in Taiwan, the leadership there, come to some new broad strategic understanding. All three parties stand to lose an enormous amount if the Taiwan issue continues to be remilitarized and the United States and China drift back towards a military confrontation.
Solomon says that President Bush has an opportunity between now and October when he goes to Shanghai to lay the groundwork for a political dialogue that could lead to a new strategic understanding. But Solomon acknowledges that China, in the midst of a battle for political succession, might not be receptive. Vicky O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.